our pastor for the last 30 years, is going to pass on today to Nathan, his son, for the remainder, for the next 30 years. So I'm going to hand it over to Brother Buddy while I still can. Let's say with me, God bless Brother Buddy.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank all of you for coming. It is a very special time. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome our beloved mayor, Brother Kevin, and all of you, all of our friends. Many of you have had training through this ministry over the years, and they're not different. I've never seen this different from any other church. Every church is responsible to God for your vision and your calling. The churches have just had different philosophies about how to train their people. We have our philosophy. Our philosophy is training disciples. For the kingdom of the Lord. We try to train on the Hebrew background of what's called the Talmud, or the Talmudim. I want to remind all of you, the Christian people today, I remind you that we belong to a holy tribe. It's a tribe called Christian, we're born of the Hebrew stock. Heaven and Jerusalem is our mother. This earth is our temporary sanctuary. We walk around the earth and the body, and we're heavenly citizens. And we have a great responsibility on this planet. Not to just sit and occupy space, but we have to occupy until He comes. And we have to be like a city set on a hill, light shining that cannot be hidden. And we never want to forget that. That's our calling. We have a tremendous mission that's been given to us by the Lord. And we want to always remember that. Hold mostly to the world, hold tightly to Jesus. If I cry, you're welcome to cry. If you cry, I'm going to cry. I just can't help it. I've always been a crying person, but I think that Jesus wept, and it's all right to cry. It was a wonderful moment. I'm so overawed. I had just been crying, and I cried and wept together, but it's been tears of joy and just tears of wonderment and awesomeness at what God had done, and He raised up. You know, I'm so proud of all my children. I really are. We have our battle scars. We all have our battle scars, folks. That's the nature of life. But I'm so proud of my family, my children, all of my children and grandchildren, and this church. This is an awesome church. You are the most beautiful people on this earth. I know every pastor thinks that way, but I certainly think that way. You're a very gracious, loving, kind people. And if you read the article in the newspaper, one of the comments I made that was, if you want to know what the church was like as a family, you almost need to come. This would be a good measuring place to see what a family is like. We are very much a church family. Well, today I'll be handing over the senior leadership of this ministry and all that that means. I mean, it's fully what the word means. Nathan becomes senior pastor. I'll continue to serve on the staff and the board of directors as a founding pastor. But that's a background position. I'm the other lion that if needed. The young lion, the warrior king, can call on him for advice and encouragement. And I'll be there if you need me. I know how to fight the battles. Fought a lot of them. But it's his turn. And he's going to do well. Nathan is a qualified man of God. He's got a beautiful wife and beautiful children. I couldn't be more proud in a right moment of what's happening today. I'm going to ask Nathan to come over, if you would, and his beautiful family. I'll be passing you. These are emblems that we'll be using this morning. I'll explain what they are to you. But first of all, I'm going to serve communion to Nathan and his family.
The Lord told us to partake of this always to remember His death until He comes. And that's our position in the earth today, is to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ, to proclaim His second coming. So you can partake of this, Nathan, with your family. The Lord bless you. This is the blood of the covenant, the symbol for which He died for our sins on the cross. We've all been touched by evil, but we've been touched by righteousness now through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Stand over here if you would, please. I want to read. You stand by here, baby, if you would. The Lord gave me a scripture to read. I want to read. I'm going to explain a vision that I had a long time ago.
that I didn't ever really have the interpretation of, but I got it through my son Andre. And when he spoke the interpretation, I knew it was from God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath wrapped me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Many years ago, I had a vision, and I was looking at a large pine tree. And my eyes began to go up that pine tree, and suddenly it began to change into a sweet gum tree. And I looked at that, and I began to cry out for everybody to come look. And I was saying, it's a miracle. It's a miracle, because that doesn't happen. A tree doesn't change into another tree. And I always wondered about that, because I've seen God's miracles over the years. And when He's in something, He can make a change. Andre shared with Nathan and with me, and I asked him, could I share this, that he felt like that was an emblem God had given me years ago for the changeover of our ministry. It's the same tree, the same root system. But it's going to flower now, because Nathan is going to carry us in the 20th century, 21st century. We are at the 20th century, thank you, Jesus. That's where I've been. But I thought about that a lot, and that's really where we are. And so Nathan will take the reins, and he'll bring all of his skills and his abilities and his giftings and his sweet, precious family alongside him, Mom and Dad in the background, and we'll bring this church, this great ministry, into what God has designed for us. Don't you love the Lord? Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Amen. The shepherd's staff is not silver and it's not gold. It's just like a gnarly old limb. But it's to remind us that we are people of the earth, but citizens of heaven. And we're never to forget our humility before God. And we're always to keep an humble heart. Shepherd's staff represents protection. It represents oversight. It doesn't reprimand ruling or beating or hurting. It represents protection. It represents protection against the wolves and against strange things that would try to work around God's people. And the sheep, when they see the shepherd, there's always a sense of protection in knowing that he is a true shepherd of God. And that's what this staff is all about. It's an emblem. But I want to share with Nathan something else strange that's going to happen to you, because it's already happening. I have been sensing the anointing leaving me as far as senior pastor. I have my anointing to always continue. But I have seen that happening, passing over to him already. He's also going to have the heart of a mother hen, which sounds strange. That's the kind of heart Jesus had. He said, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. He began to cry out over Jerusalem. How often I wanted to gather you together as a mother hen does her chicks, but you were unwilling. You know, if you know anything about farm life, you know the most powerful animal on the farm is mother hen. But when she begins to cluck just a little bit, every one of them babies, they run and they'll hide underneath her. And that's the way it's going to happen a lot. You listen to your shepherd. Jesus is your great, great shepherd. But don't ever make a mistake that this man is an under-shepherd. He has a bishopric given to him by God. And always respect that office. It's not that he cannot make mistakes, but it means that he's going to have a special anointing upon his life to make corrections when they need to be corrected. Will you say, I love you, Jesus? Can we blow this? Pretty good. I can blow it. This is the war trumpet. It's the watchman's war trumpet. It's an emblem. The Bible talks about the watchman on the wall, that he keep his watch for the city. And he has the war trumpet. I saw an ancient city surrounded by a wall. And as the night approached, I heard a watchman call. To all God's fearing citizens, let each heart prayerful be. It seems there's been a rumor, an approaching enemy. Watchman, watchman, tell us what you see. Will there be safety for each family? We're counting on you, watchman. Please don't let us down. Awake us from our slumber when danger comes around. Throughout the night he watches, he hardly sleeps at all. He feels responsibility, this watchman on the wall. And when the night is long and dark, you see him hear a prayer. Oh, God above, look down in love and keep us in your care. The watchman has a great responsibility. He has to send a clear sound. It can't be strange sounds. It's got to be a sound that's understood by the people. Warnings and cautions and comfort and strength. And so this is the emblem of the watchman that passes to the senior pastor. One day I would say to my son Nathan that he should gather around him strong men. Men who can be watchmen beside him. We'll have mature men and women in this congregation that will always do that anyway. But he needs a band of leaders that he can depend on and rally around him and help hold his hands up. It's always important to have that. I've had my man through the years. He'll have his own man. And so here we pass the watchman's trumpet. And by the way, this did belong to his grandfather and maybe his great-grandfather. It's passed down to us. This is the prophet's mantle. Elijah had one. Passed it to Elisha. This came from Jerusalem. It was a special gift to me from sweet sister in our congregation. I'm passing it to my son Nathan. The mantle of the prophet in the Bible was a very important part of his clothing that he wore. It was great significance. It was a special mantle. But it meant that there was a very unique prophetic calling upon him as a prophet and a senior pastor. All of God's people do have a prophetic anointing. I hope you understand that. But there's a special, unique anointing that comes upon a senior pastor of a church and the pastor of the church. They're going to know more, see it better, see it sooner than anybody else will. God has elected them for that office, and he has provided them with a special grace to be able to do that. And Nathan will have that. It'll be on his shoulders to be able to guide this ministry with a prophetic calling. Doesn't mean that he's a prophet. I mean, Moses said, I would that all God's people were prophets. Well, we are in a sense. But you have to recognize that with each particular office of calling, there's a special anointing that rests upon that calling. And Nathan will have that. And this is the prophet's mantle. Can you say, I love you, Jesus? I'd like to ask our board of counselors to come up here, please, and our beloved man, if you would, Brother Clarence. We're going to lay hands on Nathan and his family, and we're going to pray our last congregation. Would you please stand? And as we pray for them, would you extend your right hand towards them as a way of affirmation and recognizing Nathan's call and Nathan's placement as senior pastor of this ministry? And after we pray and bless them, any of the counselors who would like to offer a prayer or word, you're welcome to do that. And follow that, I'm going to ask our beloved mayor, if he would, to pass his blessing to Nathan. Lay your hands on Nathan, please. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, Son of David, Son of Jesse, Son of God, our Lord and every name and our Savior, how we extol your holy name. Your name is above all names, Lord, and you place that name upon us as the tribe of Christians. Father, we lay hands on my son Nathan now in the name of your son Jesus, upon his wife, and upon these beautiful grandchildren of ours, Lord. We ask that your special grace and favor would rest upon them, Lord, in all that they need, in everything that they need. I know they're going to feel inadequate, Lord, but that's a good feeling to have, because you are our adequacy. And let them always remember that, Lord, that our adequacy is not from ourselves, but it is from you. Now, Lord, let the full mantle of pastorship, of senior pastorship that's rested upon me, now rest upon Nathan and rest upon his family to the glory of Jesus Christ and to the future of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. any of you would like to offer prayer, be fine. Amen. Okay, the Lord bless you. Yeah, and Brother Clarence, we're going to dismiss the council, board of counselors. Brother Clarence, if you'd come, I'd like you to offer your blessing to Nathan. This is our beloved mayor, good friend of our family, special friend.
I know. Let me quickly say a couple words. And I know, Neil, I'm normally not like this. This is really tough. First, let me say to Brother Buddy, of course, Rosa's not here, and I really feel strange because I don't know if I've ever been in here and Rosa not be with me. But obviously circumstances, but she sends her love, obviously, to you and to the family. And let me just remind also for a plug for myself and hopefully some of the people that I serve with that we understand the magnitude and what God's will is, and that Nathan takes on a bigger responsibility, but he served us very well. And, I guess I'm putting him on the spot because I hope he can continue to serve us as best as he possibly can, but obviously give everything to all of you, and we still expect a lot from him, so I'm putting my plug in. The Brother Martin, 7.5-8 years ago, I didn't know this family and probably this church family, but I called Rich this morning and I asked, was there something at the office I was supposed to go by and pick up in honor of him? And then Rosa this morning, I've not read the article, and she was telling me about the article, and I told Rich on my way here there was no need for me to read the article. I know enough. I know the past, but what's important to me and my family and Rosa is the spiritual friendship we've shared. And I can tell you my standing here has a lot to do with the spiritual friendship we've been able to share with Brother Martin and his family, because believe you me, I probably would not have survived had it not been for that. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you. Let me just offer up a prayer and be very short. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to obviously gather together here and praise your name. We thank you for passing on to our beloved friend Nathan a great responsibility, a responsibility that you're placing upon him. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for the service of Brother Martin and the continued service of Brother Buddy Martin, who's guided this flock in a way that the Lord has instructed him to. We thank you for all of those who he have touched and all of those who he will continue to touch. And we ask that you give that same blessing to Brother Nathan as he continues on this great ministry, not only here among us, but out in the world where it's much needed. And we ask that you give him all the strength and the power and the wisdom to carry on those endeavors. We ask that you again place your hand upon his family and give them many blessings. We thank you for him. We thank you for this family and this church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my son, it's yours. In Jesus' name.
Well, it's not his yet. It's still mine. But you may be seated. Brother Nathan's going to come and share with us in a few minutes his heart, his feelings, his thoughts, and his vision. But before we do that, we have a special song this morning. My sister Janae and I don't know what else. I was kind of out of this part of the loop. I knew it was happening. But if Janae would come for us this morning, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning. Y'all are in for a special treat. See, y'all just thought it was one voice. Look, it multiplied 3 voices. Thank you, Jesus. I was about 20 years old the first time I sang this song. It's been around a while.
I'm a little underage.
We won't mention Bud's age. whenever you're ready.
Blessing. Amen. Well, like I said, Nathan's fixing to come and share his heart and his thoughts and his plan and his vision. And as I'm going to say over many weeks and many months and many years from this point on, God willing, say it with me as he comes to share with us. God bless Brother Nathan.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Janae and company. I wasn't expecting that. That was beautiful. I'm going to take advantage of these elements and just keep them here, and I won't use them all the time, but I'm so grateful that you are here today. As I look out at this this congregation, I think we need to, Brother Buddy, you need to step down every Sunday because we'd have a good crowd. It is an incredibly touching that you're here, and so many of my friends are here and people that I love, and folks who've been a part of our lives in the past, and God has brought you to other places of fellowship and worship. Our love is still the same, and thank you so much for being here. Okay, I got through that one. This is a special day for me. 20 years ago, in front of this pulpit, the leadership of this church laid hands on me and sent me out to Mexico. It was actually 20 years ago this month that it happened. 5 years prior to that, the church had I had publicly acknowledged a call to serve the Lord and was licensed to the ministry. I was 16 years old at that time, and then 5 years later, at the age of 21, the Lord sent me out, somehow counted me faithful, and I'm so grateful. I was thinking to myself earlier in the year that December of 1986 to December of 2006 to me was a milestone, and 20 years of full-time ministry was something that I was thinking of, you know, thanking God for it. How do I commemorate that? I didn't realize that the Lord had plans to commemorate that in such a big way. But I'm grateful for the confidence and the trust that Brother Buddy, my father, Daddy, has in me. And I thank you for your confidence, for being with us today. I want to share, in your bulletin it says, sharing the vision. And I want to share some things with you that I think are important about this day and where we go from here. The first thing I want to do, though, is share with you some lessons about transition, some lessons from transitions that took place in the Scriptures, and I don't have a whole lot of Scriptures to share with you today. Today is not an expository teaching, it's just sharing my heart. And I want to give you some thoughts, and as I look through the Scriptures of transitions from one leader to the other, there were three in the Old Testament that stood out in my mind. The first one was the transition from Moses to Joshua. And you'll recall at the end of the book of Deuteronomy and at the beginning of the book of Joshua, Moses calls Joshua and he speaks to him and he begins to impart vision into his heart. And Joshua accepted that leadership role that Moses had carried on for 40 years. Now, there seems to be some reluctance on Joshua's part. He had served with Moses for so many years, and the reason I say there was some reluctance because the Lord and Moses and the whole congregation have to say to him over and over and over, be strong and be courageous. The Lord is with you. You can do this. And today is a bittersweet moment, and I'm not saying I'm reluctant to because I do feel God's empowerment, but I can sense Joshua's feelings of bittersweetness after having served underneath the man that had mentored him and trained him to now take that role. But God gave Joshua some gracious promises. and some strong assurances that what they were about and what they were doing was from God's hand. And God told them specifically, just as I have been with Moses, so will I be with you. When the opening of the book of Joshua calls attention to basically the message of the whole book, that they were to do what they were doing by God's direct command. And we believe we're doing today what we're doing by God's direct command. And they would complete it in God's never-failing strength. And so today, we do through God's command and complete through His strength what's to be accomplished. The second transition that I point to that draws my attention in the Old Testament is that of Elisha. When Elijah turned the mantle of ministry and leadership over to him, in your bulletin you have a picture of Elijah being carried up in the chariots of fire, and there's a mantle that's falling down over on the right side of that picture, and Elisha is down below. And Elisha took that mantle, and he did something that was interesting. Just before that point, Elijah had taken that mantle and had struck the water with it. And God parted the ground, and they went across on the sea. They went across on dry ground. God parted the river there. And so after Elijah disappears, Elisha finds this mantle falling down, and he picks it up, and it says he folded it up just like Elijah did. And he struck the water just like Elijah did. But he said, well, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Kind of like, is this for real? Is this real? And God did open the water, just like He did for Elijah. This spoke a couple of things to me that I want to point out. Number one, there will be no major changes in our ministry. Next week, I'm not going to show up in Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. Brother Buddy told me if I did, he'd find a new use for the staff. And he told me if I did it after he passed away, there'd be a glow behind me picking up the staff. But there are no major, significant, monolithic changes that are taking place here as far as the style and the direction that we're going. And the second thing I want to say to you, that any changes that we do make will not be made just for the sake of change. They will be made because they're Lord-driven and purposeful and intentional in keeping with the vision and the purpose of the ministry. And there will be some changes because the Lord, just as Elijah and Elisha were different men, Brother Buddy and Nathan are different men with different styles and different giftings, different tastes in music. that doesn't mean anything. Just different. He likes buttermilk. Thank you. So, the beauty is that Brother Buddy has given me the freedom to operate in my giftings and my strengths that are different than his. And some of that will be seen over time. The third transition that I see in the Old Testament that is significant is that of David to Solomon. And there are many others, but I picked these three because of what they said and what they spoke to me. When David turned the reins of the kingdom over to Solomon, he was still living, but he turned it over to him. And just as Elijah was still living, in fact, Elijah hadn't died yet, by the way. So don't get any ideas. All right. But when David called Solomon, he said that God had called him to do a great work. But God said, I can't complete that work. You're going to complete that work. And he gave him the plans, and he gave him the specifications, and he gave him clear instructions on several key issues. In fact, if you read, as I did, you'll see that David gave Solomon some instructions about serving God with a whole heart. He gave him instructions on how to manage the kingdom, don't make alliances with these people. And he even got specific and said, when this person, remember what he did and remember this situation and be gracious to this person. I mean, he gave some real specific instructions and how to govern the kingdom, foreign alliances and those types of things. Now, Solomon had a choice to do this or go his own way. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, it says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For God searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. We all know the outcome. Solomon did not follow his father's advice. And the end was not a good situation. And so, I'm going to be leaning on my father for advice. And I'm going to be taking that advice as wisdom from God. Now, Solomon was given the opportunity to ask God anything. And you know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom and knowledge. He said, well, I'm just a child. That's why I asked Janae to sing that song. I feel like just a child today. So many of you have seen me grow up from a child. And even I've told someone this week, I said, that's amazing to me that corporations would give me money just on my signature. I mean, I'm a kid. Why are they going to loan me all this money to buy a house? And that's a teaching we'll get into later about getting out of debt. But why do they send me credit cards in the mail? I'm just a kid. Don't they know that? And I have that humility before the Lord to realize I can only do this through His wisdom and His knowledge. So that's my prayer. But those are some lessons I get from transitions in Scripture. I want to take you to a New Testament transition that I think is even more applicable and something that I want to share of my heart, and it'll get us into the vision. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is transitioning. Batteries? Okay. We'll be right back after this commercial from our sponsors. Shade, you're not letting me change my batteries. Don't you know that's how to get the preacher to quit preaching? Okay. Acts chapter 20. Paul is on the last leg of a missionary journey that's going to take him back to Jerusalem and ultimately to Rome and to his destiny. And he goes back among churches that he's visited and started and established. And he calls the elders to come to them. And he calls the elders of Ephesus to come to them. And I want you to see in verse 28 where he said to them, one of the things he said to them, he said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I take this as a personal charge. This is my charge from the Lord. And it says two things that are very important to me. Number one, it says to be on guard for yourself. I recognize, and you know as well, that the church has been plagued with far too many leaders who have not heeded this warning and not guarded themselves, and as a result have had a public failure that has brought dishonor not just to their own lives but to the church. And so I make a commitment to holy living and to ask God to help me by His grace to empower me to live in a way that never embarrasses Him or embarrasses you. Now, I don't pretend that I can do that on my own strength, and so I know that it's by His strength. I have asked a couple of pastors in this community, men that I love and respect, to serve as a personal accountability team with me, to look into my life and to be able to examine me and to point out areas that they see as being unhealthy. I've asked some other individuals to share honestly with me if they see something that is not pleasing to the Lord. Paul told them to be on guard for themselves. So I've asked God to establish my ways and to never let me embarrass Him or you. It secondly goes on to say, be on guard for the flock. And I understand that the role of a shepherd is one who involves himself in the care for the sheep. The Lord has given me an understanding of that role that's even greater now than I ever did before, and one that I've shared with some of our leadership team here in recent meetings. This verse says that it is God's flock. He bought it with a very precious price. As Brother Buddy mentioned a while ago, I'm an under-shepherd. And I understand you're not my sheep. You're His sheep. So if I do something that's not right, talk to my boss. And I mean that very literally, because I know He'll take it up with me. Now, the term overseer that is used in this verse obviously speaks, on the face of it, to see over. And we've often used the phrase that sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. You get so close to a detail you can't see. And so God is calling me to see over, to not so much look at certain specific details, but to see things that hopefully the flock can't see, to guide and to be able to be aware that, yeah, it may look like that's a good choice, but really I can see beyond. That's what He's going to enable me to do, to see the big picture, to see things from a different perspective, not just close up. And that kind of brings me to a visioning aspect of this ministry. I desire that this flock be a healthy flock. In Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're not going to go there, but in Ezekiel 34, the Lord brings a charge to the shepherds of his people. He's very upset with them because they've done some things that he's not pleased with. They've taken advantage of the sheep. They've neglected the sheep. They've used them for their own purposes. And there are five words used there that describe the condition of that flock. It says that they were sickly, diseased, broken, scattered, and lost. And for these five things, God took issue with the shepherds. Well, if we take those things that God is upset with and we reverse them, I believe that we can find a picture of what God desires in a flock. And to me, that means that he wants his flock to be not sickly, but healthy. He wants his flock to be not diseased, but strong. He wants his flock to be not broken, but healed. He wants his flock to be not scattered, but plugged in. He wants his flock to be not lost, but found. And so my vision is that Christian Challenge in every member be a strong, healthy member who is plugged in, who has a sense of connectedness, and who honestly feels like this congregation could not get along without you. That's my desire for us and for you. I desire that you buy into our vision and the mission of what God's called us to do as far as preparing servants for the nations and training disciples. Our name is unique, Christian Challenge. We are going to challenge ourselves to live as Christians and to be Christians in as salt and light in this earth and in this world. But I want to tell you that each one of you has a unique talent. And each one of you has a unique gift. And each one of you brings a unique perspective that needs to find its expression in glorifying God. And I believe the place God has given that is the local church. The local church is the best place for you, your uniqueness to be expressed in honoring God. I shared last Sunday with our board of counselors that I desired for every member to have a ministry or an expression of their giftedness that makes them feel plugged in. And so if you have a talent in an area that we're not currently doing something in, then we need to move in that direction and allow that talent, that giftedness to flow. If you have a talent in an area we're already working in, then let me know so we can plug you into that. And I believe that God is going to expand our ministry as we make our gifts and our talents available to Him. You see, the purpose of all this is to glorify God. What is man's chief end? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Jesus said that we're to shine our lights, to live our lives in such a way that our light shine and give glory to our Father in heaven. In fact, it even says something about that they may see your good works, right? Our ministries, our effectiveness, our outreach, and the things that we do. Now, this is not about burdening you down with something else to do. That's not what this is about. It's about giving you room to express your God-given talents, abilities, and giftings in a way that glorifies Him. And when you do this, you're not going to feel burdened. It won't be another laborsome thing. It will be an expression of what God's created in you that shines back to Him. And the reason that I say it won't be burdensome is because in John chapter number 4, when Jesus was ministering to a woman, he was hungry, he sat down at a well, the disciples went into town to buy food, so obviously he's hungry. He sits down at this well, and a woman comes by that needs some water for her household, and he asks her to give him something to drink, and he begins a dialogue with her that totally changes her world. She leaves that encounter a changed woman. When the disciples come back, they offer him something to eat, and what does he say? I have food to eat that you don't know about. You see, when we're operating in the giftings that God's given us, when we're operating in the anointing that God's given us, we are empowered. It's not a burdensome thing. It's an uplifting thing. And so I want you to move in areas that you find refreshing. Do you get tired out? Sure you do. But the Lord provides those refreshing times. So my vision for Christian Challenge is that we're a place where people are loved and find connectedness to each other and to the Lord. A place where you are loved, you know that you're loved, and that you find connectedness to one another and to the Lord. A lot of people say this is a special place. That when you visit here, you feel warmly welcomed, you feel loved. They even say y'all guys hug a lot. And I hope we continue. I pray that they'll also say that this is a place where they feel needed. I am asking you to buy into that idea. I hate to use the term buy into, but I want you to capture that. That vision that you will seek the Lord to show you what your contribution to His kingdom is to be and how you fit into this body. Now, we often quote 1 Corinthians 12:18 that says, "But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desires." And we many times quote that talking about what church you're supposed to be in. And that's a very applicable application of that. Applicable application? That's a very appropriate application of that scripture. But in context, it truly means in that local body where you are, God has a special placement for you in that body. And so that's what I'm asking you and I to do, to find that application, to find that place, and to glorify God in it. And so I ask you, will you commit to seeking His face and asking Him how He wants you to fit in this body and this vision? There may be some adjustments that will take place. There well may be some new things that birth, some new ministries that come out. There may be some people that are giving up something they're doing because it doesn't fit. And I'm so grateful to God for people who do stuff that needs to be done. But it may be that the Lord brings in somebody with that freshness that says, yes, this resonates within me. When we talk about this ministry, my heart is like a tuning fork. It just vibrates because I get excited about that. And God's going to allow those birthings to take place. So as we operate as the kind of body, as that kind of body, I believe God will be glorified and the true purpose of Christian Challenge will be fulfilled, of preparing servants for the nations. And so I want to say I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve you, and I'm so excited about what we have before us, the days that we have. I thank God that He counted me faithful. I thank my Father that He trained me and that He trusts me with His baby, because this is His. I mean, God created this, but He's the one God used to create it with. And so to give your baby to someone else is a beautiful thing, and it's probably hard at times, but maybe like giving your daughter away at marriage, which I will find out soon enough. Not too soon. Brother Buddy has bragged on me this morning, this week, other times. It's humbling to sit there and listen to that. But the best answer for that came on Wednesday morning when he was bragging on me to our group of ministers that meets every Wednesday morning. We were meeting right here in our fellowship hall. And he was talking about our transition and how just saying the nice things about me that I won't repeat. And one of the ministers said, "I said, Buddy, you know why Nathan's so gifted? It's because he had a better teacher than you did." I had a good teacher. And so I want to give my teacher a gift. Lori, if you would bring this. This, Dad, if you'll come up. This is a gift from my wife and my daughters and me. My daughters picked the wrapping. My daughter wrapped it. Yes, I'd like you to open this. I'll do that.
Okay.
Yes. Wrapping paper's cheap. This is a picture of the disciples in the Sea of Galilee, Matthew chapter number 11.
Thank you, sir. Isn't that wonderful?
Man. We launch out.
Wow.
But Jesus said we're getting to the other side.
Thank you, darling.
Love you, Daddy. Amen. Thank you for listening, for being a part of this special service today, and for sharing in our enthusiasm for the future. Sister Gail Faulkner is going to come and sing a special song this morning and may share something on her heart. Our way of saying thank you to Brother Buddy. We love you, Daddy.
When I came here a couple of years ago, I came to a Thanksgiving dinner that we had here in the sanctuary. And I remember they had asked me to sing that night. And this is such an unusual place. I mean, it's a close-knit family. It really is. And I remember standing right here and saying, that I'm trying to step into this family. And I have, and they've accepted me. And I am so blessed to be a part of this congregation of believers. Thank you, Brother Buddy, Sister Eddie. And I have watched you, even in this short time, just grow in the anointing that God has on you. And you too, Lori. And I love you all.
Would you join me in giving just a thanks to my father? Would you just a round of applause to thank my dad for what he means to you?
Thank you, Dad.
Amen. All right. We have come to the close of a wonderful service today. Look at your watches. Don't get used to it. I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for being here. And I saw Patrick slip in a while ago. Thank you, Patrick. That song, I was thinking about you and the mission ministries of Christian Sharing Christ. I would name all of you my friends who are here today, but if I were to do that, then we'd be at 12. So thank you, each one of you who are here today, for being here and for making this day very special. And we walk forward. We walk forward together. Now, those of you who have been a part of our ministry and God has sent you on your way, that doesn't sound right. God has moved you. God has gifted you to serve in someplace else. We're excited for you. If you're here this morning and you don't have a church home and you're looking for a place to be plugged in, connected, and feel loved and used by God, and we invite you to come back and be a part of what God's got going on. Amen. Lord, we thank you this day for all that you've done. For 30 years, you have been faithful to this ministry. For many more years than that, you've been faithful to all of our hearts. For you've known us when we were formed in our mother's womb. And you know our future. You know the words before we say them. We know every day is written in your book for us. And you know us intimately well. And we're so grateful that you are involved in our lives. Lord, lead us into this great future that you have. As we go into the storms before us, we thank you for calming the child in the midst of the storm. And we thank you that we're never alone because Jesus is with us. You said you'd never leave us and you'd never forsake us. And so we thank you. And Lord, this morning we may have come with some petitions or some requests in our hearts. We just lift those to you and we cast our burdens on you, knowing that you care for us. And we thank you for this celebration of Brother Buddy and celebration of our future and his healing. We give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guests, we do something at the end of every service to make sure everybody knows that we know Jesus Christ is Lord. So we're going to say it three times as loud as we can. You ready?